So what I wanted to go into now in this talk was in the fourth point, you know, we start on the subject, how to rely on a spiritual mentor as the root of developing the path. Now, actually, this section, what comes here next, is not the specific topic of how to rely on a teacher, but first comes the whole discussion of how to set up a meditation session, okay? Because they put this whole topic of the meditation session here because the first actual meditation we're doing is how to rely on the teacher, okay? But the instructions we're going to receive here on how to set up the meditation session apply equally for all the forthcoming meditations that are going to be described, not just relying on the teacher, but later on when we talk about the precious human life, impermanence and death and so on. Okay? So this is just basic general instruction for the meditation session. Okay? So in general, you know, you can, it's very good to do these long room teachings to meditate them on them in a retreat situation, in other words, where you've cut out a lot of your extraneous activities and you just do retreat, in which case you would do maybe 4 sessions of meditation a day or 6 sessions, something like that. For those of us who have very busy lives, who can't take out time to do retreat, then we can still continue to do the long-run meditations, doing, let's say, 1 session a day or possibly 2 sessions a day. Okay, the important thing is to be continuous in the practice, to not break it up, okay, because it's like anything you train yourself to do, you really need to practice every day. You know, if you practice the piano one day and then don't do it for another month, you lose everything you've gained. Okay, so it's really important every day to do some meditation. Keep your session short at the beginning, you know, maybe a half an hour. If that's too long for you, do 20 minutes. Don't make your session too long. Don't squeeze your mind or push it, because it's really important that when you meditate, you come off your cushion wanting more. Okay, not come off your cushion like, oh, I'm so, this is so long, it's so tired, I'm glad it's over, I don't want to do that again, you know. But instead you want to come off with a feeling of, oh, I could have done more because this was really nice, because that makes you eager to want to come back. So don't, you know, keep your sessions a reasonable length. Don't push them and make them, you know, too long. And then go through the path sequentially, you know. I mean, maybe spend some time as I'm teaching the different meditations, concentrate on those particular meditation subjects. After we've gone through the whole text, then you can do each subject, you know, let's say 1 subject a week or 1 subject for 3 days, then go on to the next subject. You can time it yourself, but do it in a sequential manner and then go back and start again at the beginning. Okay, because in that way you'll get through all the different subjects. Okay, but that's for after we've covered all of the subjects. Right now, while we're teaching the text, try and really spend time on the particular subjects that are being taught so that you can gain, you know, they're fresh in your mind and you can gain some experience with them. Okay, so before we actually start the meditation on the specific subject matter, for example, relying on the teacher or the precious human life or death and impermanence, first, there's 6 preparatory practices that are done. And these are very, very important. Often we like to skip the preparatory things and go right into the main juicy part. But in actual fact, the preparations are very important. If you ever go to teachings, you know, in Dharamsala, His Holiness will spend like about a half an hour doing prayers before the session. Yeah. And, we do it just a very short time. We do the Western condensed version. Yeah. But, His Holiness always takes much pain to to say that if you prepare the mind properly through contemplating the meaning of these prayers, then when you actually meditate, you get somewhere in your meditation. But if your mind isn't prepared properly, then even you spend a long time on the meditation, the mind is still very much like a piece of rock, and you don't really get anywhere. Okay? Now, I imagine different questions will come up as we're going along, you know, doing these six preparations, because it does involve talking about devotional practices. Some people like devotional practices. They feel they're really beneficial. Other people get very turned off by them, okay? That's because we have different kinds of dispositions, different kinds of personalities. Yeah, so if you're a person that likes them, you can do the longer version of the different prayers and practices. If you're a person who doesn't like so many prayers and practices, you can do a short version. That's okay. Yeah. The reason we do the prayers that are written down by other people is because we don't always know what kind of aptitudes to cultivate in our prayers. We don't always know how to train our mind. So the lineage teachers, out of their kindness, they wrote down different prayers and prescribed different practices as a way of giving us very specific instructions on what thoughts to develop and what specific things to do. Yeah? I think my personal feeling is if you understand all these steps and the attitudes you want to develop, and you feel more comfortable saying the prayers in your own words, that's fantastic as far as I'm concerned. Okay? The guidelines from the lineage lamas are to help us because we don't always know what to think about. Yeah? Okay, so we have six preparatory practices. I'll just list them and then we'll go through back to the first and go into depth. Okay, so before the meditation session, we have to clean the room and set up the shrine or the altar. Then we have to obtain offerings and arrange them very nicely. Then sit in the eight-point posture. This refers to establishing a good motivation and sitting in a correct physical posture. And then you take refuge and generate an altruistic intention for your meditation. Then the fourth step is to visualize the field of positive potential, which are all the holy beings, you know, the lineage teachers, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, and so on. And then having visualized them, next we do the seven-limb prayer like we did before the teachings here, and we offer the mandala, which is symbolic of the universe. And then we do certain verses to request inspiration. So if you look closely, the prayers that we're doing before the teachings are all contained in these practices, okay? So here we're going to get into some explanation of the prayers that we've been doing.